God for the music that has been shared on today. 1 Samuel chapter 18. For those of you here for the first time, or maybe this is your first couple of times, we have a sermon note card that we distribute so that you can follow along with the preaching and teaching of the word. If you don't have a sermon note card like such, please lift your hand and our ushers would be more than happy. We got some hands raised. We're more than happy to support you. All right, ushers, let's move and get those sermon cards. You can leave that door and get those cards to the folk. Yeah, there we go. We got some deacons with it. They getting on it. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. Wonderful. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. Those still looking, say, Lord, help me. I heard you. That's the Old Testament. All right. That new part of your Bible. Amen. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. When David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship and loved him as much as he loved himself. Saul kept David with him from that day on and did not let him return to his father's house. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. My God. Then Jonathan removed the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his military tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. David marched out with the army and was successful in everything Saul sent him to do. Saul put him in command of the fighting men, which pleased all the people and Saul's servants as well. Verse 3 says, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. I want to preach from the subject this morning, soul brother. I like that. That's cute, ain't it? I'm going to whisper a word of prayer and then we're going to watch a video that captures the essence of friendship. Heads about, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for allowing us to catch a glimpse of what friendship ought to look like. Father, there's no person under the sound of my voice that doesn't need this message on today, be it interpersonal with a friend or a coworker or even a relative. So, Father, I pray that we would humble ourselves and receive what you have prepared for us on today. And Father, I'm asking that you would use me in spite of me, that you make up the difference where I am deficient. But ultimately, in this exchange, Father God, would you be glorified in what takes place on this day? We love you, Father. We submit and surrender in the name of Jesus the Christ. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated.
It all started, you know, when I was younger, when my father walked out of my life. Forgiving someone was really hard because I grew up fatherless and I really didn't know the definition of what it felt to be loved. When I went to school, a lot of my friends back then, we were just ribbing on each other. Like, it's like when you make hurtful jokes, but you're hoping that it doesn't offend you. I was a target, you know, the way I dressed, the way I talked, and the way I handled myself, it really made me stand out to the point where I was the main target of being ribbed on. In my head, I was like, man, these dudes really are my friend. You know, all they do is talk about people and talk about me. It really bothered me when I was in school to the point where people would hurt me in my life, and I would tell them, yeah, man, in the outside, yeah, I forgive you, but in my heart, I really didn't forgive them. These particular friends I had, they were pouring bad things into my life. I would do things that I'm not supposed to. I would stay out late. I would disrespect my mom. I would be this guy that I'd never seen my life transforming into. I really hung out with these people to really cover up the hate that I had for my father. I was just playing Xbox one day. I went home from a lonely day of school. I came home and I was playing Xbox. And one of my friends, the craziest thing, one of my friends messaged me on Xbox. He asked me if I wanted to go to church. I was like, yeah, I really don't go anywhere. So I took the chance to go to church with him and he picked me up. When I went there, I walked in, it was just so friendly. You could tell everybody there wasn't fake. It wasn't a fake smile. It was just everybody's warm greeting smile that wanted, they actually wanted me there, that they wanted me to be at church with them. I started going to what we have called Life Group. It really changed my heart, you know, of how I see and feel about forgiveness. And it really opened me up to see what real friendship was, of how God would see friendship and brothership. I've gained brothers and sisters because of this. All my friendships before Christ was all toxic. And through the darkness that I was in, God really showed me that with the friends, the new friends I've made through Christ really helped me transform my life to understand that God's a forgiving God. And if God's a forgiving God, then I need to be forgiving myself. And God used that to open up my heart to forgive those truly who have hurt me. I met these friends that took my life and they helped me transform into this man that God wanted me to be. They showed me what friendship really was about, and they showed me what forgiveness was about. They showed me that my life was in the wrong place, but God can bring me to the right place.
My God. Amen. Give God a praise, hand of praise for that young man and his testimony. Wow. What a powerful, powerful testimony that is. As we begin our message for today, we typically begin with what I call the message moment. And that helps us to understand what the message is about in its entirety. You may forget some of the principles, some of the points. That's why I like you to write things down. But here's what I want us to learn and take away from today's message. We were created for community, for friendship. When we open ourselves for friendship, there are risks, but greater rewards. There are some risks. And the bottom line is this: we all need friends. We all need friends. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your marital status. Every single human being needs friends. As a matter of fact, this is why social media has been so successful for this generation. That needing to be accepted, the needing to belong, the need to be embraced by other individuals. We need connection. Why? Because we were built for connection. When the Lord God created man, when he created everything on this earth, everything was good. And he recites his first negative statement when he sees the loneliness of his creation in man. There he declared in Genesis, "It is not good for man to be alone." But I understand what we do, beloved, because we were created for community. We were created for friendship. We have a tendency to allow ourselves to get engaged in unhealthy relationships. Help me if you can. And as a result, we allow ourselves and our relationships to dictate things that draw us farther and farther away from God's design for our lives. Let me unpack this handout for you so you can stay with me. When you look at social media, young folk, and I'm talking to them in particular, when you look at social media, I want you to catch this. Followers ain't friends. Again, I'm not bashing social media. I use it like everybody else. But I need for you to understand within the framework and the context of community, followers is not equivalent to friends. Wow, it's quiet in here. But understand this. Why does it seem like I'm attacking social media? I promise I'm not attacking it. It is good for what it is created and used for, but I need for you to be clear. You can have 5,000 followers and not one friend. Let me help somebody else. Let me help you. Yeah, here's another one. Likes ain't love. I'm coming down your block here. Yeah. Yeah. Likes. Ain't there? Some of y'all know what I'm talking. What does he mean, likes? I like everybody. No, not that like. Not that like, Mom. Not that like. On social media, we are affirmed when our post gets a certain number of likes. right? And so if I post something that's a bold statement of faith or a cool picture or a really good selfie, I sit and wait to see how many likes. Oh, don't look at me like that. You know you be checking that thing. You hit that refresh 4 or 5. Well, maybe it didn't post right. Yeah, it posted right. But what happens to us, young and old, is we get our identity from likes. And somehow in our mind, we equate the likes with love. It ain't the same thing, y'all. And this is where the social media construct falls short. Now, I get it. I love it. I use it. But I want you to use it with the right perspective. And so many of us are getting engaged in social media and we have these hopes. Oh God, I hope that it's going to be this. I hope that it's going to be this. Listen, I don't want you to have any false hope about social media. So the benefits of social media have created a burden in the area of authentic friendship. Write that down. It's a burden in the area of authentic friendship. Authentic friendship. So we don't know what friendship is anymore. And it's not the young people's fault. They were raised in this social media generation. I need a witness up in here. And as a result, there's certain coping and social skills that they simply don't know. See, these young dudes don't know how to walk up to a girl. Y'all ain't feeling me, brothers. And ask her if she like you. Y'all remember that? What do we do now? We direct message them. We send them, you know, we send them something and they can respond or whatever. But back in my day, you had to make that walk. You had to walk up to them. And they didn't come to you. Oh, y'all, that's a whole nother lesson right there. The girls didn't come to you in my generation. You had to walk up to them. Hey, that's a long walk. And you look back at your friend like, go on, man, go on. Y'all tell me to go on, tell me to go on. And you walking up to them. And by this time, it's like a spotlight. I need a spotlight. And you walk up to them. Hi, my name is Steve. And I was just.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Thank you. I was wondering if you liked me.
Wait.
All right.
Wait.
All right.
She likes me. Woo! 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 That was a close call, man. But see, here's how we do it now. And then we wait. We check it. And what's lost in that, y'all? I mean, based upon what I just did, what's lost? There's so much that's lost in authentic friendship. Now, again, I know you're not going to throw your phone away. You're not going to log out of your social media accounts. That's not what I'm suggesting. I simply want you to add another level. I need a witness up in here. I need you to go the extra mile based upon the message for today. So social media has given us this burden in the area of authentic friendship. Pastor Brown, what is friendship? Help me to understand the value of friendship. Number one, friendships are rooted in love. Get that down. Friendships are rooted in love. Now, for the case of my message now, we're dealing with interpersonal relationships with platonic friends. We're not talking erotic or romantic friendships. We're talking platonic. Homeboy, homegirl, and you know, sometimes we have homeboy and homegirl. That's a rarity, but you know what I'm saying. But just platonic friends. Love. And we've come to the point now, y'all, where we really don't know what love is. So that's why we got to go back to scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not irritable. And does not keep a record of wrongdoing. I'm going to stop right there. See, some of us can't maintain a good friendship because our ledger is too long. And if I were to ask you what happened to such and such friendship, you turn into this reporter. Well, let's see. In 1987, I asked them for a ride to the store and they said they weren't busy, but later on I found out they weren't that busy. In 1992, y'all catch what I'm saying? I'm trying. But when you're talking about love, you don't keep a record of wrongdoing. Once you have addressed the issue, once the person has admitted or not admitted, listen, you got to learn how to move forward for the sake of the relationship. Wait a minute, Pastor, but I ain't gonna be no doormat for nobody. No, scripture says love covers a multitude of sins, which means, beloved, we have to learn how to give people the benefit of the doubt. I ain't even got to my text yet. I'm preaching already. Friendships are rooted in love, and we don't know what love is. I just told you what love is. Friendships also, check this out, rooted in truth. Write that down. Friendships are rooted in truth. Once again, I got to bring social media back in. I'm sorry, beloved. I got to let you know that, you know, that glamour shot, profile pic, that ain't you. I'm sorry. Somebody say filters. And see, you just lost half the congregation. Now, what's a filter? That's in my car? Is that the one in my attic? I need to change my home filter because it's not. When we take pictures now, we can edit the picture with an overlay, which is called a filter. And it determines what blemishes show and which ones get covered up. That's a filter. Amen? Amen? But the point I'm making is this, y'all. We live in fantasy. We live in fantasy. And here's what we do. Some younger guys taught me this. We compare our lives up against other people's highlight reels. Because that's all you see in social media is a highlight. They don't show themselves falling and fumbling and making a mistake. They don't show the fight that they had with their spouse. They don't show how that child ran away from home and just came back. All they show you is the smiling selfie. And it's void of truth. But also in our friendships, there has to be truth. What do you mean truth? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, it speaks of the gospel sharing, but there's still some truth in the statement. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. I can tell you the truth as long as I do it with love. And I don't get to gauge it. The Lord and his spirit gauges the love. Not only that, the text is moving in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. It says, therefore, putting away lying. Boy, show this quiet up again. Yeah, why we lie so much? Come on, y'all, talk to me. No, don't talk to me. Listen to me. Why we lie so much? And y'all, we do these unsolicited lies. Just volunteer lying information. You know, I went to the moon last week and we live in fantasy. And we bring the fantasy world into our relationships because social media will allow us to create whatever reality we can create. Therefore, putting away lying, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't get the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hand so that he has something to share with anyone in need. I'm going to stop right here, but it says, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good and building up of someone in need. Your words and your relationship, speaking the truth and having a relationship rooted in truth, you should be building the person up. I don't need you to tell me I'm short or got a big head. I know that already. Do you have those friends that only accentuate the negative? Somebody say, yes, I got them. And listen, understand this. We model how we want people to treat us. So you got to learn how, we have to learn how to model truth in our interpersonal relationships, friendships, rooted in love, rooted in truth. Thirdly, rooted in accountability. I ain't in my text yet. We're 20 minutes in, but it's all good. And accountability. What do you mean accountability? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one person sharpens another. In a God-honoring soul brother, soul sister friendship, there has to be accountability. Which means it got to be truth. You got to tell me what you're going through. If you can't tell me what you're struggling with, if you can't tell me the pains and agonies of your heart, watch this, we ain't friends. Ooh, it's quiet up in here, but I'm going to preach until I'm tired. Amen. We ain't friends. If all I know is what you want me to know and you want to maintain this profile picture image of your life, you're right. We are not friends. But for those who are ready for real friendship, for those who are tired of playing the game, for those who are really seeking to do community with other folk, this message is for you. A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. With the thousands and thousands of answers they received, here's some of the following. Here is a friend, end quote, one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is enviable. That's good stuff. One who understands our silence. That's what a friend is. Here is a friend. A watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. That's a good quote for a friendship. Here's the one that I love. Here's the winning definition. Here's what a friend is that someone contributed. A friend is the one who comes in when the world has gone out. Oh, that's a good one right there. That's a word right there. Who is that person that shows up when things fall apart? Who is that person that kind of hovers and sticks around? They ain't got to say a whole bunch. But their presence speaks volumes. As you examine your relationship catalog, make sure that the ones you call friends walk in when the world walks out. So friendships are, in essence, get ready to write, friendships are, in essence, soul connections. Soul connections. Two or more individuals agree, make a choice to do life together. Friendships are not forced. They're developed. And so often when I was coming up, I could only be friends or allow myself to be friends with people who dressed like me, who shot where I shot. Trying to keep it real, how I was missing it. Drove some of the stuff I tried to drive and lied and said I had. Had a certain standard for dating relationships. Y'all went to that stage too. You only date light-skinned dudes from the 80s. No offense, light-skinned brothers. No offense. Y'all coming back in. Y'all coming back in. It's all good. It's all good. I'm sorry. Light-skinned brothers. But y'all begin to examine, even before this sermon series, my friendships. And I want you to do the same thing. David and Jonathan give us a paradigm for friendship. And I've taken a lot of time with that introduction, but it's all good. We'll get to what we get to. But in their relationship, we discover one of the best examples of how we are to be and behave in a friendship. Let me just cut across the field here. Let's examine their friendship. The first thing I want you to discover is David and Jonathan had something in common. Get that down. They had something in common. They had something in common. It opened up chapter 18, verse 1. David had finished speaking with Saul. Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship and loved him as much as he loved himself. They had a lot of things in common. The main thing they had in common was a love for God and a warrior spirit. A love for God and a warrior spirit. We discover in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan was fierce. He was a fierce warrior. And in 1 Samuel chapter 14, it says, Jonathan, verse 6, said to the attendant who carried his weapons, "Come, let's cross over the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." His armor bearer responded, "Do what is in your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you. Whatever you decide." "All right," Jonathan replied, "we'll cross over to the men and then let them see us." And it goes on to say in verse 13, Jonathan climbed up using his hand and feet and his armor bearer behind him. Jonathan cut them down and his armor bearer followed and finished them off. In that first assault, Jonathan and his armor bearer struck down 20 men in a half acre field. Somebody say he was a warrior. And I don't have to give you the evidence of David being a warrior. David slew Goliath in such fashion, and he was a young lad of a teen boy. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 31 through 51, David's like, "I'll handle this uncircumcised Philistine." And Saul tried to give David his armor to put on. David said, no, "I can't be you. I gotta be me." And so he goes and he gets his sling and his five smooth stones, and David winds up and he releases that sling and slays that giant and slashes off his head and holds it up and say, "What?" I'm talking about what David and Jonathan had in common. They were warriors. They were God-fearing men. They believed in the covenant and the promise of God. So what do they have in common? Warriors and their relationship with the Lord. They both submitted to God's will for their lives. Second thing they had in common was a covenant. Get that down. Covenant. Somebody say covenant. Come on, say covenant. It says in chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Then Jonathan," verse 3, "Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. Then Jonathan removed the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his military tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt." Stay with me, y'all. This is getting good now. Talking about the covenant that David and Jonathan shared with each other. There's a lot of symbolism and Jonathan giving David his warrior credentials. So you got to understand, Saul was king. Jonathan was Saul's son, which means he was in fact heir to the kingdom. But because he understood that the Lord had made a shift away from his father Saul to this young man David, he had a choice to make. Do I allow myself to be swollen up in pride? Do I allow myself to be full of myself? Or do I submit and surrender to God's will for this kingdom and my life? Watch this. Jonathan said, "God is right, and I submit to the Lord." And so he enters this covenant, this cutting, if you will, with David. And so the language of the text says that Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. Yes, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. See, we get uncomfortable when you hear in language in the text that a man loved another man. I'm coming down your block now. See, this is another reason why we have superficial relationships. Every time a man tells another man he loves him, he got to put a clause in it. I love you, bro, you know, in a cool brother kind of way. That's because we boys, you know, and we cool. It don't take all of that. Let's practice. Brothers, turn to a brother. Look at it. Ain't nobody, everybody looking at me now. Ain't looked at me all sermon. Turn to her brother. Come on, brother. Look him in the eyes. Hey, man, I love you. Them brothers doing it like this. And y'all, that has been very hard for me. I'm telling you, when you start delving into daddy issues, it hinders our relationship, brothers, with each other, men with other men. Even someone with a healthy relationship with their dad have trouble in this area. But for those of us who've had difficult upbringing, we really have a hard time. And I'm here to let you know, brother, Jonathan demonstrated his love for David. Is biblical and right. And so he seals this love with the covenant that they have. He gives the gift of royal attire. Jonathan loved David in such a way that I'm reminded that the Lord Jesus says in Matthew and other passages, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Watch this. And to love your neighbor as yourself. All right, sisters, turn to another sister. You ain't off. You thought I forgot about you. Uh-huh. And don't turn to no relative. Some of y'all turn to your mama. I love you. Some of y'all ain't turned. All right. Oh, it's all good, player. That's between you and the Lord. It's all good. I'm just a messenger. Amen. So watch this. Say they had things in common. Come on, say they had things in common. Secondly, they had a covenant. Thirdly, we're going to finish here. They had conflict. There's always going to be trouble in paradise. There's always going to be trouble in paradise. So we just read Jonathan in his love for David, understanding full well that the Lord had shifted from Saul to David. So that means the covenant, the promise, the kingdom, it belonged to David. And this kingdom is so important because out of this kingdom would flow the Messiah. So we're talking, this is high stakes. And Jonathan, understanding that this would mean he would not be the heir, he still demonstrated love for David. But here's the question. What do you do when your daddy wants to kill your soul brother? What do you do when your daddy wants to kill your soul brother? Yeah, this is conflict. This is real conflict. This ain't no play conflict. This ain't you forgot to pick me up from the airport conflict. No, this ain't that kind of conflict. This ain't the kind of conflict that we fall out about. This is real deal here. But the conflict is not between, watch this, the soul brothers. I need you to catch this. See, when you are a soul brother, you know how to protect your friendship. Y'all help me preach this up in here. You learn how to stay connected with your soul brother, and as a consequence, identify the enemy that is attacking your friendship. I'm preaching this for myself. See, I told you, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. When one person sharpens another, when you have authentic friendship, beloved, sparks will fly. And so what's happening in this text, sparks are beginning to fly. Friendships are being tested. The conflict has come to fruition. So Saul's determination to kill David hence became the source of conflict and tension in David and Jonathan's friendship. I don't have time to unpack all of 1 Corinthians chapter 19 and 20. I just beg you, beloved, please spend some time this week reading these two chapters. They're powerful. They're strong. But let's go on to application. Let's go on. We here, so we may as well get it done. God bless you. So David and Jonathan's friendship faced the greatest of trials. It was their bond that sustained their friendship. So what do you do, Pastor Brown, when conflict comes? What do you do when conflict threatens the covenant that you have created with your brother, with your sister? What do you do when attacks are being launched against you and your friend? The first thing you got to do is write down your text. You can read it. Speak up for your friendship. You got to speak up for your friendship. This is not time for passive aggression, coach. And we so good at passive aggression. Oh, it'll work itself out. No, it won't. How is it going to work itself out? I just give it some time. I let it marinate. And every day it marinates, it's getting worse. Some of y'all right now, I'm going to give them some time. You ain't talked in 2 years. How's that working out for you? Somebody say, speak up. First Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. Look at what's happening in the text. The preceding verses, we discover the covenant. They're common. And here comes a conflict. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Saul ordered his son Jonathan and all his servants to kill David. Houston, we have a problem. Come on, stay with me, y'all. 33 minutes in, stay with me. We got a problem. So, Dad, you want me to kill my brother? But I got a covenant. I got a covenant with him. Keep reading. But Saul's son Jonathan liked David very much. So he told him, my father, Saul, intends to kill you. Be on your guard in the morning and hide in secret in a secret place and stay there. I'll go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are and talk to him about you. When I see what he says, I'll tell you. Jonathan spoke very well of David to his father. I'm going to stop right there. When I say speak up, listen, you got to speak to the threat, and you also got to speak to your friend. I need a witness up in here. See, when there's a conflict, there is tension, if you ain't communicating, the enemy will figure out a way to get in the midst and cause confusion. I need a witness up in here. Now, let me make you real mad. I'm going to make you real mad. When there is real conflict, young folk, this ain't the time for texts. This is the time for talking. I ain't got no help. I thought old folks would help me a little better than that. And I didn't mean to call y'all old. Mature, I'm sorry. Y'all know I ain't mean no harm about it. I'm old too. I'm about to turn 50 in a couple years. So the point is this. When you begin to speak up, you have to be bold in your position. Watch this, because you are literally fighting for your friendship. Somebody say, speak up. And if I were to pass the mic, just pass it around and say, has there been a situation where if you would have spoken up, you would have preserved a friendship or kept drama down to a minimum? Every single one of y'all would say, yeah, if I would have said something, things would have been a lot less dramatic. We have to learn to speak up. Jonathan, understanding the tension that he is in. He has a father who is trying to kill his soul brother, and he is standing in between. And you thought your situation was bad. Somebody say, speak up. But then secondly, this, you already got this. What you got to do secondly, y'all? Come on, somebody say stand up. You got to stand up for your friendship. So the background is taking place. Listen, David and Jonathan are trying their best. Watch this. To preserve their covenant friendship. But more importantly, to preserve David's life. Saul has an entire army at his disposal. And David understood, although the Lord's anointing was on him, although he was the heir, he was still at risk. I've told you many times, the path to the kingdom ain't easy. Oh, I feel that by myself. So David had received his anointing, but he had not yet received his appointing. So the time in betwixt is filled with conflict and tension. You got to stand up for your friendship. So they devise a plan to determine David's safety in Saul's presence. Let me tell you what standing means. Standing means going beyond your words. I used to get in a lot of fights. I've told you this before. I'm not proud of it. I promise. I'm not bragging. I'm very ashamed of my temper. As it used to be. The Lord has delivered me. Give God a hand of praise right there. Hallelujah. And whenever there's a fight, sometimes you just want to know that if you look over your shoulder, just in case something goes off, and you got to be cool about it. You can't just look. You got to be kind of like, yeah, so what you want to do? What's up? And that right there, if I could just see some tennis shoes that I recognize or some jeans, my voice got a little bigger. You follow what I'm saying? It's just about, you know, somebody standing. See, you can talk all the noise during the day. I got you, man. I got you, Brown, man. You let him say something to you, man. I got you, man. Yeah, man, we're going to get him out to school. We're going to meet across the street, okay? I'll be there, Brown. I'll be there. And I get there first and be like. And of course, the person would come, and they were always bigger than me because my mouth was so big back then. Well, whatever. So the point is, they would come, and at that moment, I would just be like, Lord, let D be behind me. Let Tony be behind me, please. I see Tony on that side, and I see D on that side. So what's up then? What you want to do? Now, children, I don't advise this, okay? That's a sermon illustration. But the point is, child of God, at a certain point, you're going to have to stand with your friend in defense of the friendship. You can't send your vote in abstention. You got to actually show up. And I think that's what's happening a lot of friendships now. We're going to conflict. People feel isolated, alienated, and alone. And they don't feel that you're willing to stand with them when the going gets tough. Speak up. Stand up. And then thirdly, I'm finished. Fight for your friendship. You got to fight for your friendship. 1 Samuel chapter 20, it gets ugly. I mean, y'all, it gets so ugly. David and Jonathan were trying to determine Saul's level of mental stability. But by the time it gets to chapter 20, David is fleeing. Jonathan is interceding. He said, Jonathan, verse 4, whatever you say, I'll do it for you. Because David and Jonathan, listen, they were in this thing together. We ride together. We die together. Bad boys for life. That's that kind of friendship. No witnesses up in here. And as a result, you know, it's a little scheme, another scheme to determine Saul's level of aptitude, Saul's level of hatred towards David. If I don't show up at the table, because by this time David is living in the house. So David said, if I don't show up at the table and if he misses me, you know, then you say this to him. And if it says good, then no problem. But if he gets upset, then that'll let me know that he's still trying to kill me. And so they have this exchange. And Saul gets upset at his own son. I'm still in chapter 20. Because he knew something was afoot. Look at verse 30 of chapter 20 in 1 Samuel. He said, then Saul became angry with Jonathan. and shouted, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman. We know what that's translated. Yeah. Children, close your ears. Don't I know that you are siding with Jesse's son to your own shame and to the disgrace of your mother? Every day Jesse's son lives on earth. You and your kingship are not secure. Now send for him and bring him to me. He must die. Jonathan answered his father back. Why is he to be killed? What has he done? Jonathan is fighting for the life of his friend. Verse 33, then Saul threw his spear at Jonathan to kill him. So he knew that his father was determined to kill David. Stop right there. I really want you to read these chapters in their entirety, because it paints a full picture of the dynamic of the tension that's involved. Y'all, we got to fight for our friendships. And I'm finished, I promise. We got to fight for our friendships. It's going to be uncomfortable. It may even be dangerous. Stay with me. I'm finished. Stay with me. Look at me. We got to fight for them. And one thing I'm discovering is many of us have lost our desire to fight for our friendships because we believe the culture. If this friendship don't work, I'll just get another one. That's how we live now. I'll unfriend you and friend this other person. I'll unfollow you, follow this other person. I'll create another fake world with this other person. Because I don't want to deal with reality. Because in reality, watch this, there's going to be conflict. In reality, you're going to be offended and hurt. In reality. In reality, they're going to say or do something that either offends you or does not settle well with you. And that's, you got to make some hard decisions. And I need for you to know, I want to answer the question for you. Yes, the relationship is worth fighting for. So some of y'all are going back to college. Some of y'all going back to high school thinking about friends. Some of y'all are going back 2 or 3 years ago. You're kind of going back in time. Just thinking about all the friends you just, when they don't measure up to your standard of friendship. So I think it's fair to close this out. All of us need to do some repenting right now. Bow your heads right where you are, right where you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bow your heads right where you are. I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to pray for yourself. Because you know more than me or anybody seated next to you what needs to be done as it relates to your friendships. You talk to the Lord now. You repent now. Your repentance has nothing to do with the other person. This is all you. Come on, talk to him. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to really examine and study what authentic friendships are all about. Father, we're grateful for the example of David and Jonathan. And Father, we see where we have work to do. Father, some of us need to speak up. Some of us need to stand up. But all of us need to fight for our friendships. And Father, as I said last Sunday, we're not dealing with abuse or volatile type of friendship. We're just speaking interpersonal conflict in a general sense. Give us wisdom and discernment to know the difference. Well, Father, help us to fight for our friendships, for our family's sake, for the generations that follow after us. That we're not setting a precedent. If someone offends or doesn't measure up, I got a right to cut them off. Father, I rebuke that worldly philosophy. Get it out of our church, out of our language, out of our vocabulary. Because we all offend someone at some point in our lives. So, Father, I'm asking that we would dispense the same grace that we have received. Lord, I'm tarrying now that you touch our hearts, touch our will, help them to be in alignment with yours. Father, give us courage, give us truth, give us love, give us hope. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Everybody gonna give God a hand.